Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? Amen. We know God will add his blessing to this reading from His. Last Sunday morning, as we considered some things about the Savior, we had been looking at the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we asked ourselves the question, what kind of men did he use? Because sometimes we look at ourselves individually as Christians, and perhaps we feel that we have so little to offer. And sometimes we become overwhelmed by our inadequacy, and therefore we need to be reminded that whoever we are and how limited we might feel that we are, that the Lord Jesus Christ can use any one of us if we are willing to respond to him in faith, if we walk with him and live in obedience to his command. We noted that the nature of these men, they were not super spiritual giants as we often portray them to be. They were just ordinary men like you and me, making many mistakes like we do, often wayward and stubborn like we are, lacking faith in the midst of crisis that we also do. And they often disappointed the Savior because they just didn't trust him and take him at his word. Beloved, they were only human. They were very different. But they were the Savior's choice because Jesus saw them not just for what they were. He saw them for everything they could be in his hands. And that's why we noted the need of these men, for there were certain things that they had to come to terms with. They had to face the race call of discipleship, and many believers today, I don't believe, have faced that cost yet. They came to be Christians, but they're not facing up to new demands and new responsibilities, and they're not doing what Jesus Christ wants them to do. They had to be trained because they were not the finished article. They lacked faith, they lacked understanding, and they lacked maturity. But Jesus took them, trained them, changed them, equipped them, sent them out, and turned the world upside down for his glory. Oh, what God could do through you and me if we were willing to be changed. Today, as we come back to this little series for Sunday mornings, I want to ask another simple question. What kind of message did he preach? What kind of message did he preach? Sometimes we come to a meeting, sometimes we go home from a meeting, and sometimes we say, I wish I never had a bother going out there today. There was nothing for me. Or sometimes we go home and say, that was a good word. I enjoyed the word. What do we mean by that? Because if the Word of God doesn't change us and conform us into the likeness of Christ in a greater way, and if it doesn't knock off the rough areas of our lives and deal with those things that we struggle with on a daily basis, if we don't apply the Word, no matter how good it sounds, the message has really had no effect. But when we come to the greatest preacher of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, what kind of message did he preach? Well, of course, we could occupy the rest of the morning and every other morning looking at how the Lord Jesus Christ preached in a real, relevant way with so much clarity that people were prepared to sit for hours under his ministry and listen to him, and they were taking in every word that fell from the Savior's lips. So it's very difficult to take one morning and one study and try to condense all of this together. But I'm going to attempt to do that. Because when I think of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he taught and all that he said and all that he was, he spoke with such tenderness, with such compassion, and with such integrity and such honesty that the people were able to sit up. They took note that there was someone special in their midst. Jesus didn't have to draw a crowd, they just followed him. Well, he went out to preach around the countryside in the different towns and villages. If Jesus sat down, almost immediately he had an audience. From every walk of life, weary, worn out, sinful, lepers, the list is endless. But he never had to promote himself. He never had to put it in a paper. He never had to say that he was going to be in a certain area for any length of time. It never was said, come along and hear me. No, Jesus just went about his everyday ministry. People came, sat, listened to him, and went away and were never the same again. But how do we sum up his ministry in the time that remains this morning? Well, we've read here in Luke chapter 4 some verses together, and I want you to turn for a moment to verse 17. And here's what we read in Luke 4, verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, of course, in Isaiah 61, those words were first recorded as Isaiah spoke about the coming Messiah hundreds of years before he ever came. And on this day, as Jesus sat with them there in the synagogue, he took the words that Isaiah had spoken and he looked at the people and he said to them, "Listen, these words are being fulfilled in your very presence. The prophet spoke about a coming Messiah. I am him." The prophet spoke of one who would come anointed by the Spirit to bring help and hope. And Jesus says, "I am him." And then he used these beautiful words in Luke 4, verse 17, reminding the people then and reminding us today that as Israel's Messiah, he had come with a particular mission. But he had also come with a very personal message. And that's why today I'm going to mention two very simple things. One of them is for you who know not Christ as your Savior. Because Jesus has a message for the destitute. And one of them is for the child of God struggling today, whether in this meeting or perhaps going to listen to this ministry on a CD in weeks to come. He has a message for the brokenhearted. And there are so many today whose hearts are sadly broken. So let's look at those two things and tie them up and see what we can learn. First of all, he has a message for the destitute. If you go through those verses I've read to you in Luke 4, verse 17, you'll note that there are a number of things that Jesus mentions here about his ability to meet sinners at the point of their need. Now, first of all, he says he had come to preach the gospel to the poor. What a message that is. Oh, we've heard many great messages, I'm sure, over the years. You've never heard a message like the gospel. This is the greatest message that has ever been proclaimed. For this is a message that declares to us the love of God in his Son, Jesus Christ, who one day went to the cross at Calvary and died for the sins of the world, who then rose again from the dead, ascended back to heaven, sits in the place of authority, and is one day coming to call a people to himself. And in the meantime, until he comes, he continues to call sinners to himself, that one day they'll be with him in heaven. What a message that is. Just in a few short sentences, the greatest message that has ever been declared in the hearing of any man, woman, boy, or girl. But then Jesus says here, he has come to preach the gospel to the poor. That's exactly the same word that is used in the Beatitudes when Jesus Christ, teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, said this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Who had he in mind? If you and I were talking today about the poor, we would be thinking immediately in monetary terms. Look at that poor man there. He's a very poor man. Why? Because he doesn't seem to have what we have? Because he doesn't live in a house as big as mine? Because he doesn't drive the same car that I drive for my own esteem? Sometimes we judge people as being poor in monetary terms, and they're far more than we have and many of them give it away for the good of the Lord's work. But we're not talking in terms of monetary terms here. Jesus is thinking of the men and women in his sin-ravaged society whose lives were ruined. These people were humble people, crushed in spirit, who lived in fear before God, who were looking to find a way out of the mess that they found themselves in, who were looking for hope. And Jesus gave them hope. For he says, I have come to preach the gospel to the poor. Man or woman, you might have much today in monetary terms. You might have everything going for you in every facet of life. And you might feel today that you have absolutely no need of anything. Do you know what your greatest need is? Christ. God's salvation. For no matter what you might have and I might have in life in a monetary way, the message that Jesus brought was for those who were in a poor and desperate state because of their sin, whose lives were ruined and ravaged because of sin, who realized their hopelessness, who realized their helplessness, who were looking for something else, who were looking for something better. Jesus came for those people. He said, I have come to preach the gospel to the poor. So there's hope for you today. Without Christ, there's hope. For you today, if you look to him in simple faith, if you trust him as your Savior, if you embrace his salvation, you can go home from this meeting resting in Christ, and that life of yours ruined by sin, transformed by the power of God, you on your way home to heaven. Now, I don't know where you'll hear better news than that. Jesus says, I have come. But he says he has come also to preach deliverance to the captive. That word captive is the thought of exiles dragged away from their homeland. And they're living in another land enduring great hardship. You watch the news in recent days of the Horn of Africa. Have you listened to the horrific stories of some ladies who left two children in a little hut because she didn't think they'd make it, and she walked for the next 20 days with three other children to make her way across the border, and now she's living with a little tent over her head, going out with her garment, getting it filled with some rice and tying it and going in to feed her other children, hoping and praying they'll not die? Someone from a different land, living in a strange land, and enduring hardship. That's the idea Jesus has in mind when he speaks about the captive. You know what that reminds me of today and you? As far as our sin is concerned, we are held captive by the devil, who is the real enemy of our souls. He's seeking to keep us back from God. He's seeking to confuse our thinking. He's trying to deceive us. He's trying to ruin our lives. He's holding us in the bondage of sin. And all the time we're there, we don't even know it, but there is freedom from our sin in Jesus Christ. That the chains today that bind us to sin and Satan, they can be broken free, snapped in a moment of time, and we can enjoy freedom in Christ, for he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Free indeed. Are you living in this old world today, despondent,
Looking at your life and perhaps your home and it's been wrecked and ruined by sin and you see no way out. And every way you seek to turn, you just can't seem to shake off the fetters. Listen, Christ can break the fetters today and set you free once and for all. And sin need no longer have any dominion over you. And here's the third thing. He says he had come to recover sight to the blind. In Jesus' day, of course, blindness was a very common occurrence. People like blind Bartimaeus sat often by the sides of the road begging and seeking for help until the Savior turned up one day and touched his life and gave him sight, and Bartimaeus got up and went on with the rest of his life. But in a spiritual sense, without Christ today, you're blinded by the god of this world. Here's what the Bible says. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, and I say this very lovingly, it's to offer you hope, it's to point you to Christ, it's to invite you to embrace salvation. Listen, here's what the Bible says. It says that Satan blinds the eyes and the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. If you cannot see the truth today, that's because Satan has blinded you. You're saying to me today, I don't need a Savior. That's because Satan has convinced you that you don't, even though God's Word says you do. You're not afraid of dying and going out into a lost eternity. That's because Satan has convinced you there's nothing beyond the grave. If you're not a Christian today, I want to remind you that Satan is a hard taskmaster, and he will keep you in sin far longer than you ever intended to be. But Christ can save you, and he can set you free, and he can give you spiritual sight. And he can take that life of yours and use it for his glory. You see, friend, that's why there's hope. Hope for you. For he has a message for the destitute. Here's the second thing. He has a message for the brokenhearted. I don't think in all the years of ministry in various ways and in various places, I've ever seen as many believers today who have been knocked for six. Believers who just can't seem to get above their circumstances. Believers who have allowed so many things to come into their lives and sometimes into their minds that have vexed and annoyed them. To the extent that almost today they're almost willing to throw in the towel. And those who haven't and aren't, many of them today, have lost the joy of their salvation. And others have become bitter in service. And too many have become bitter in spirit. Heartbroken. Jesus says, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. What a statement that is. What hope that gives. Take your thoughts back for a moment to his day. And think of everything that the Lord Jesus Christ had to confront. People were in all kinds of trouble. Some of the situations he faced, some of the circumstances he came across were so difficult and so discouraging. Blind men begging on the roadside, crying out for help and mercy. Widows seeking to bring up a family without a breadwinner. Women living in sin and selling their bodies to make ends meet. Lepers. Driven from their families, bad enough, and then driven from society, as outcast, to sit outside, to ring a bell, to let people know to pass by. There they were, all of them, and many of them. And the good news is that Jesus was passing by, because only Jesus could make a difference. And you and I look out in our world today, it's no different. Absolutely no different. Instead of sitting today by the side of the road begging, although there may be some, most of them are shuffled out of the way. Can't have people coming to our society with this kind of people sitting here. Some of them are put into homes out of sight and out of mind and never see anybody come to offer hope. And there are still women today trying to bring up a family in Canada who are selling their bodies. And there are still people today who are brokenhearted, discouraged, disheartened, who are sitting and wanting and longing for hope, and there is none. There is hope in Christ. There's hope in Christ. For he says, I have come to heal the broken heart out. Now I'm going to take this morning, and I'm going to apply this to the child of God. Because it might well be that you're sitting here in church, or maybe there are some sitting at home today who didn't even come out to church. And their life is a bit like that just now. At a real low ebb. Brokenhearted, needing someone to heal the hurt. Needing someone just to help them up a little bit to get them on the road to recovery again. Down and out with problems that weigh heavy on their hearts. And they've prayed about it and sobbed to God about it, and nothing has changed, and they wonder why. And today they cannot see God through the tears. Ever been there? It's a rotten place to be. But can I encourage you today and encourage my own heart that we need to learn to cast our burden upon the great burden bearer. That we need to open up these hearts of ours to him and allow him to minister his grace. Nobody understands us like Jesus does. And nobody cares for us the way Jesus cares. The psalmist says to your heart and mind today, cast your burden upon the Lord, for he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Do you know one of the great pictures that I love about the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry? It's this, recorded for us in Matthew 11. When Jesus looks at these people with all their need and he says to them, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. You know, as far as our burdens are concerned, it could be any one of any number of things that has broken our hearts today and plunged us into distress. So I'm going to be very practical and mention just four things. Just mention them. You ponder them. If today they come home to your heart, you go home and open up and share your heart with Christ. Maybe your burden's a physical one. You're not well. You've been struggling for a long time. Maybe you've had bad news recently about your own health and you haven't told anyone and you're not going to do it because you don't want to worry them. But every day is getting tougher. And each new day brings new demands. You just can't cope anymore with the stress of it all. Or it might be that there's someone in your family in that position and you've been carrying the heavy end of it all. And you have your own load to bear and you have your own life to live. And somehow as you've got alongside in order to try to help them, you're beginning to wear out yourself and you're almost at the end of your tether. Remember, at the end of your tether, you will always find the Lord. Always. He might not change your situation immediately, but he will give you the strength to see it through. He knows better than anyone else what you're going through just now, and don't forget, he has promised to be right there with you. Secondly, maybe your burden is a family situation. Someone in the home breaking your heart. Son, a daughter, someone you expected far more from, and your response has been, I never brought them up that way. And today, maybe they're out in the mountains, wild and bare. Maybe some of them have made an absolute mess of their lives. Maybe some of them today are far from what you want them to be and engaged in something you never expected. You've prayed long and hard with no response. Well, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Because that's the only thing that you and I can do. If you and I could change situations immediately, you and I would be in demand. We wouldn't be sitting here today. We'd be away taking a conference somewhere with multitudes sitting at our feet. But life's not like that. So don't give up on God. Don't ever give up on them. And keep pressing on. Here's the third thing. Maybe your burden's a financial one. For many people today, times are difficult. For many people, they're wondering where perhaps their next pay packet might come or where their next job's going to turn up, and family life has become increasingly more burdensome. Bringing up our children, finding the necessities is tough enough, but whenever our children get to an age and they want everything and we just can't seem to get our heads around it, we put ourselves under pressures we should never do. Sometimes we've got to set our children down and say no. Sometimes we've got to sit down and train them the way we were trained in order that when they have their own children, they don't make a bigger mess of life. Because God has promised to supply all our need, not all our greed. And not all our wants and not all our wishes because we feel they need it because somebody else has it. Sometimes we put ourselves under extreme pressure by trying to keep up with everybody else. Now, I can tell you something. I don't know much about our economy. But I do know this. You and I have a God who knows our every need, who has promised to meet our every need. And sometimes we just have to sit down and leave that burden with the Lord too. And that's very relevant in the days in which we're living. Here's the fourth thing. Maybe your burden's a spiritual one. You don't like to think about it, but the truth is that today you're vexed and annoyed, not just about the state of the world, not just about family matters. You're just generally vexed and annoyed about everything and everybody. You've been hurt, let down. Another Christian trampled on your toes. Somebody wasn't there when you needed them. You feel let down and discouraged. Well, that's a burden we all bear. And we need to learn to take those burdens to the Lord too. If we don't, it will eat the heart out of us. And not only that, it will render us ineffective for God. You've heard me say before that I love Bible characters, and my favorite one is Elijah. You know why I like him? Not because he's the mighty man that stood one day in Carmel and destroyed all that was in his way with the help of God. You know why I like him? Because the number of times I waken up under a juniper tree and I say, Lord, how will I ever get through this? What happens? The Spirit of God restores, refreshes, and sets you on your way again. But Pastor, for me, it's just one juniper tree after another. Yep, understand that. But sometimes it's under the juniper tree that you and I learn more about ourselves and more about God than we ever thought we could. Life at times can be difficult for all of us. But he has come to heal the brokenhearted. An old Methodist missionary couple, and with this I'll close, were ordered to leave China many years ago when the communists came to power. When they refused, they were marched to a nearby hillside with their small congregation. And the wife was handed a shovel and told to dig a grave while her husband watched. She began to dig, and she dug for quite a while with no help until the grave was ready. Then she was told to stand alongside her husband, and they were told to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ or face the consequences. And if they renounced their faith in Jesus Christ, they were told that they could leave China immediately. They looked at each other as they held hands and smiled, and they said, 50 years we have served him, and never once has he failed us. We will not fail him now. Suddenly, a butt of a rifle came down in the skull of the missionary's wife. Collapsed into the grave. Whether she was dead or not didn't seem to matter, for the husband was told to bury her immediately with a gun to his head. He protested. He wanted to see if his wife was all right. The commandant ordered his tongue be cut out. The missionary looked at his wife. He looked at the commandant and he said, will you give me just a few more moments to say something? He agreed. The missionary looked to heaven and he sang, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. He then buried his wife, lost his tongue, and spent the final years of his life not able to speak and without the one he loved. Beloved, Life doesn't always work out the way we plan. Difficulties are part of the Christian life. And Jesus says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You're on sea of today. You've never trusted Christ. What an opportunity. For Jesus can meet you at the point of your need. Ah, but he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If the going's tough for you today and me, remember this. The Lord is on your side. But more importantly, the Lord is by your side. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's pray. Father, today we realize oft times in life difficulties come. Maybe this morning that some people in this fellowship or some under the sound of your word through the ministry of CD today will find themselves in a very difficult place. May it be that the Lord himself will be with them and they'll find the strength and grace and the courage just to keep going on. And looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. For those here today who know not Christ, may they look to him, the one who came to bring the gospel to them. And today has the power and willingness to save them. Oh, speak to all our hearts, we pray. For Jesus' sake.